Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Welcome in the studio. I am so glad that you joined me, and I am excited about what the Lord is going to do on tonight. It's always a pleasure to be here on Thursday nights. I am here, and sometimes it's a fight to get here, but glory to God that I just want to be obedient. I just want to be obedient to his will and to his way. Amen. So I am here tonight, and I'm glad to be here. Well, we're going to get started tonight in the show. First of all, I have a couple of things that I want to say. The first thing I want to say is that somebody very special in my life celebrated yesterday 80 years around the sun, and I just want to acknowledge, I know he would probably be upset with me, but I want to acknowledge him on the show. We, you know, did some things yesterday and some other things, but I just wanted to acknowledge my dad. Happy 80th birthday, and prayer is that you'll be here for another whatever 80 might, 120 minus 80 is. But anyway, just want to acknowledge that. And then also I want to just also acknowledge and, you know, ask for your prayers for my family. My cousin's sister lost her husband last week. And as she travels, we just want to pray for traveling grace and mercy that the Lord would be with her that he would comfort her, that he would give her the strength, the wisdom, and the peace to prepare to lay him to rest, understanding that when we're believers and her husband it was a believer, understanding that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we have loved ones that we know have accepted Jesus Christ, then guess what? This is not the end for them. This is the beginning for them. You know, they're there where we desire, where we long to be. You know, that's what we're down here doing. We're constantly trying to make sure that we're staying aligned, so that we could get to where they are. Amen. So we just want to keep her lifted in prayer, Yvonne and her husband with John. So keep her lifted in prayer as she starts another season in her life, you know, after 40 years. Amen. So I just want to say those two things and acknowledge those two people that are very important in my life, and making sure that they know that I love them, I appreciate them, and that I'm here for both the celebration of life and the celebration of living. So to both. So anyway, let's just get to this. Tonight we're going to be talking about that famous word, that word that nobody likes. And I believe that the Lord wants me to go in this direction. You know, I started. You know, a journey. Many of you that's been following me for years know that I do this 21-day fasting and cleansing, and it's pretty brutal. And so I started that. I'm on day six, no food, right? But a lot of times I do this not just to detox my body, but I also do it to cleanse my mind. Make sure I'm spiritually in tune. And the bigger part I do it is discipline, because I'm disciplining my flesh. I am, in essence, telling my flesh, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do according to the Spirit of God. So me doing this 21 day, you know, a lot of people say, oh, she's doing it because she want to lose weight. And, you know, yeah, that's the benefit of doing it, is the losing of the weight. But the bigger benefit of it is the discipline. It's the delay in self-gratification. Because if you could do it, then you could just, you know, if you're disciplined in one area, it's easy to be disciplined in other areas of your life. Generally, when you're not disciplined in an area of your life, you'll find that you're not disciplined in many areas of your life. And so I could get undisciplined at times, and I could get just really undisciplined. And so when I find that I'm getting so far to being undisciplined, for me to get back on track, I do this, because this, for me, is a way to really get back in alignment and get disciplined. And so as I was, you know, getting ready for this week and getting ready for tonight, I thought about that word. I thought about not so much discipline, but I thought about the word obedience, right? And to me, they're not the same, but they go hand in hand, because if you're not disciplined, it's difficult to be obedient. If you're not disciplined, it's difficult to be obedient. And so I want to talk about opting towards obedience. So opting means choosing. So we're going to choose to be obedient. It's a choice that we have to make. Now, before, you know me, we're going to get into some stuff. I want to make sure I'm not just throwing words out there, because believe it or not, what we take for granted, many of us take for granted that when I say obedience, many of you say, oh, yeah, I know what that means. I know what it looks like. But there's a lot of people that's heard that word their whole life. They may have a sense of what it is, but they really don't know what it is. And a lot of times we'll find that we can't do things because we don't even understand what it means. You know, we use words, we use cliches, but we haven't been able to conform to it because we don't know what it looks like. And we got to know what things look like. When somebody tells you to go get something, you know, somebody told you to go get, and I'm using this from my mentor, but somebody told you to go get Kichi Kichi, you would look at them like they was crazy, right? What in the heck is Kichi Kichi? So if you told me, What is Kiki Kichi? And I told you, it's like Kachi Kachi. Now you're really confused because Kichi Kichi is like Kachi Kachi. You can't do it. Why? Because you can't see it. You can't do what you can't see. So you have no perception of what Kichi Kichi is, and you definitely don't have a perception of what Kachi Kachi is. But if I told you Kichi Kichi is like Kachi Kachi, and Kachi Kachi is like banana, then all of a sudden a light bulb will come on in your head, and you'll say, oh, that has to be at the store. It's going to be in the produce department. It's going to be yellow. I know exactly what it is. Amen? So when I'm teaching on Thursday nights or God is ministering through me, I like to break down words. I want us to get an understanding of what that word means. What does it really mean? What does it mean to be obedient? You know, what does it mean to be obedient? Now, I'm going to tell you according to Webster what it means, but then we're going to find out what God say it means. What does it mean to God? But according to Webster, obedience is defined as the act or instance of obeying, the quality or state of being obedient. Furthermore, the definition of obedience is submission to the restraints or commands of authority, willing to obey. So obedience, if we wanted to break it down into a couple of words, obedience is willing to obey. So what does that mean? So we heard the definition of obedience, and it says the act of instance of obeying, the quality, all of those things, and willing to obey. In the simplest terms, when we talk about, not from Webster, but when we talk about from God. So when we talk about the spiritualness, the spiritual part of obedience, we're talking about hearing the word of God and acting on it. So Webster got his meaning and his definition, but God got his own definition. And when God speaks about obedience in his word, he said, being obedient to my word, that means hearing the word of God and acting on it. And it basically implies that we're supposed to be aligning our will, because he gave us free will, right? But we're supposed to be aligning our will to God's will and doing what God has asked us to do. And it's when we completely surrender, and that's the problem, that most of us don't know how to surrender, because guess what? We don't know what that looks like either. So we're hearing all these words, obedience and discipline and submission and surrender. And here we heard the words before, and some of us got a base idea, but we really don't understand, we don't have a perception of it. Because when we have a perception of it, again, we could do what we see. So now it's saying we have to completely surrender to his authority. We have to completely surrender to his authority, base our decisions and all of our actions on his word. Now, we're not perfect. That's why Jesus came. He knew that this was not going to be an easy task for us. He knew that we were born into sin. He knows that we're spirits housed in flesh. So he came down in the flesh and let us know that it's not totally impossible. He understands our affliction of the flesh, right? But it's saying that we're going to have to make a decision. And when somebody tells you to make a decision, that says that you have the ability to make a choice, that you have the ability to make a choice. So it says make a decision and allow the decision you made for your actions to reflect your decision. Ooh, ouch, hallelujah. All of a sudden I heard the Spirit just say, the problem is that a lot of people are not making decisions. A lot of people are not making decisions to be obedient. A lot of people are not making decisions to be in the will of God. And you know that they may not truly have made a decision because their actions are not lining up to the decision they said they made. Some of us is on the fence. Amen? And so our decision and our actions are not lining up. Many of us struggle with obedience to God because we lack, one, discipline. We lack the ability to delay self-gratification. In addition, to not fully understanding the principles of submission. And we're going to get to the submission. I don't want to bring that into here, but just keep that in mind because our next show is going to be talking about submission, because for a lot of people, submission, their perception, which is a faulty perception, but their perception of submission is somebody, them having to bow down to somebody, or somebody, them having to do what somebody tells them to do. And so because that's their perception, when they hear submission, they run from it. They don't want to, I'm not going to submit to no man. You know, you hear those kind of things. And the man is saying, submit to me, but he's saying it in the wrong context. And she said, I'm not submitting to you. He's saying, submit to me. You better do what I tell you to do. I'm your husband. Submit to me. And that's not what submission means. And the problem is that that's not what submission means, but that's the picture many of us have gotten. And because we got that picture, guess what? We have a hard time submitting, but we don't have a hard time just submitting to each other. We have a hard time submitting to God. We have a hard time submitting to God. So we're going to get into submission at another time, but let's stick with obedience and get back to obedience. There's 8 reasons why obedience is important to God. Why would obedience be important to God? First of all, Jesus called us to obey. So that's the first reason. He's called us to obey. Obedience is an act of worship. So people that don't worship probably have a hard time being obedient, because worship is an obedience. Tithing is obedience. It's not about whether tithe was in the before grace, or if it was in the old Mosaic law, or if it's now. Tithing is more about obedience than it is about 10% of your earnings or 10% of your first fruit. It's more about obedience. Are you going to do what God told you to do? Or are you going to come up with a bunch of excuses of why you can't do what God asked you to do? God may have told you that he wants you to sow a certain amount of money. It may not just be 10%, but it may just be a certain amount of money that he wants you to give monthly or weekly or daily, whatever that is. It may be more than 10%, but it goes back to obedience. Take the word tithe off and just go back to obedience. It's obedience to a principle, and the principle is sowing and reaping, okay, in the principle of obedience. So that, just keep that in mind. The other thing, number 3, is God rewards obedience. God will reward obedience, and we're going to find out why. We're going to find out by his thinking, his words, of why obedience is important to him and how he rewards obedience. He tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. He could care less that you go to church every Sunday. He could care less that you sing in the choir. He could care less that you're on the usher board or you're on the parking lot ministry. I mean, those are things, that's good things. Those are good things. But we serve a great God, and he requires more from us than just being at church on Sundays. He requires more from us, and what he requires from us is obedience. So you could go to church every Sunday and be just as disobedient. So he requires us to be obedient. The fourth one is, when we're obedient to God, it proves our love for God. See, you submit and your obedience to something, it shows that you have a level of respect. It shows that you know that you have love. And so when we're obedient to God, it's showing him, it's telling God that we love him. You know, the word said, my children know my voice, and they follow my commands. So that obedience shows and proves that we love God. Obedience to God also demonstrates our faith, because when we're obedient, it says we trust him. You know, if God tells you to do something, because most of the time, the majority of the time when God tells us to do something, it's not something that we could visualize. A lot of times God is telling us to do something, and everything from an analytical standpoint, or everything from a natural standpoint says no. Everything says nah. Looking at the signs, looking at the stock market, looking at this, looking at that, I can't do it. But when God tells you to do something, you do it despite what it looks like, then you're demonstrating your faith. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to step out on faith, And we all know what faith means. If you don't, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. So a lot of times we may not see it, but when we do it, it demonstrates our faith, and it in essence says, Lord, I trust you. Obedience, as I said, is better than sacrifice. So we see that God, and we're going to learn more tonight, that God is serious about obedience. You know, and I'm paraphrasing, but Moses, when he, remember when Moses, that the Lord, God had told Moses to tap the rock, and, you know, and the water would come out, and Moses got a little fidgety, and he was disobedient, and, you know, that cost him. Our disobedience costs us. You know, when we're not obedient, it's some consequences to that disobedience. And as you go through the Bible, whether you go from Genesis all the way to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1st, 2nd, Peter, all of them, it costs us disobedience, not following the will of God costs us. It puts us out of the will of God. And when we're out of the will of God, then we subject ourselves to the powers that be. Amen. And so now we begin to see a lot of us are going through some things in life, and if we tell the truth about it, it's because of our disobedience. I mean, if we just be honest, and this is not a badger, these are just things that make you reflect and think about, do I have some disobedience in my life? I better look at it. I'm looking at it. Because when God allows me to come on Thursday night and he allows me to be able to speak to you all, he's already dealing with me on this. He's dealing with me on something. It's not because I'm perfect. It's not because I got it all together. It's not because I'm always disciplined or obedient. But he's dealing with me. And so he begins to speak this, and whether you realize it or not, you're hearing it, but I'm also hearing it too, and I'm taking heed to it. So I'm asking myself, okay, Lord, where are the areas that I'm disobedient? You know, what areas am I struggling in? Because we're going to struggle, and God knows we're going to struggle, right? But are we being obedient? Or is that our main goal, is, Lord, I just want to be obedient? When God tell you to do something, are you doing it? Amen? Are you doing it? Through obedience, the blessings of holy living. The blessings of holy living, because when we're really obedient and we're walking in alignment with God and we're in the will of God, then that's when we really experience the movement of God. We experience the favor of God. And I'm not saying, you know, God runs on the just and the unjust. You know, there's people, you know, you might think, well, that person over there is not obedient. We know they're not obedient to God, or we think we know, because we don't really know. We think we know they're not obedient to God, but yet they seem like they're getting blessed, right? And but they probably are. They probably are getting blessed, because there may be some principles they're following, because guess what? Again, it's the just and the unjust. Principles are principles. So whether I'm saved or not saved, there are certain things. If I jump off of a bridge, whether I'm saved or not saved, gravity's going to pull me down. Amen? There's a law. If I'm saved or not saved and I plant an apple seed, I'm going to get an apple tree. Or a lemon seed, I'm going to get a lemon bush. So that's law. So sometimes we see some people that are not saved and they confess to not be saved, but we see what we believe that they're prospering, right? The benefits of obedience is, first and foremost, commits God to set you above. Now, in the word of God in Deuteronomy, it says set you above all the nations. But he's setting you above here on earth. You're not beneath. You're above here on earth. So that's one of the benefits of obedience. It commits God to set you above because you belong to him, because what you're being obedient to him. You're his child. You're being obedient. It's just like you in the natural. When you have children that's being disobedient, you're not going to go out and do favorable things for them when they're being disobedient. When they're being disobedient, most likely you're going to put them on punishment. You're going to take away some of their privileges. They're going to be disciplined when they're being disobedient. You're not going to go out and buy your son a car if he's been disobedient, right? So the same thing with God. When we're being obedient, there are rewards for being obedient. Obedience qualifies us to enjoy kingdom prosperity. You know, kingdom prosperity is not always money. You know, I'm a kingdom prosperity. Me, when I think about kingdom prosperity, the vision I get is the favor of God. That favor of God that sometimes you can, money, a degree can't get you what the favor of God can get you. The favor of God is that thing that gets you that job when you didn't have the experience. The favor of God is the thing that gets you that house when you know your credit didn't say the same thing. The favor of God is when you, the favor of God is when you went and you got a bad report, and when you went back to the doctors, they couldn't find what they seen. See, the favor of God supersedes. And that's kingdom prosperity to me, because that's the favor of God, and it's with you, it's following you, you know, it's overtaking you. We're going to talk about that. Obedience provokes the sworn blessings of God in our lives. So God's sworn blessings, his promises. You know, God, we got, as believers, we have promises. The Bible is full of promises that God has promised us. The promises, a lot of these promises are tied to obedience. And so if we're not experiencing God's promises, then we may want to say, what areas in my life am I being disobedient? God, am I listening? Am I hearkening diligently to you? Some of us can't be obedient because we can't hearken diligently because we don't even know the voice of God. Because in order to hear and understand and know it's the voice of God, you got to spend time with God. So if you're not spending time with him, you don't even know his voice when you hear it. For him to, remember it said, we'll get to that, hearken diligently, but we're going to get to that. Obedience provokes generational blessings on your children. Obedience provokes. Provoke is a strong word. Generational blessings on your children. So if I'm obedient, those blessings that I'm going to get from being obedient pass down to my children and my children's children. So there's a level of blessings that's going to get passed down to them. Now, they got to get lined up, aligned, and get in the will of God and be obedient. And I just spoke about, if you remember, I said, there's people that may not be in the will of God, but you still feel like they're being blessed. Those may not be the blessings from their obedience. That may be the blessings from their grandma's obedience. That might be the blessings from their mom or their dad's obedience to God. That just kind of shower down on them. You know, when blessings is overtaking you and they're pouring on you, there's going to be some spillage. And so your children and your grandchildren is getting that spillage, but they better know like you know, because if you teach a child in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. So you want to make sure that you're teaching your children and your children are teaching their children so that they will line up and be obedient so that the blessings can overtake them as well. Amen? I don't know. What's the characteristic when you think about obedience? What's the characteristic of that? Of course, we already said the characteristics is faith. Obedience accompanies faith. Obedience is a command. God has commanded us to be obedient. So that's a characteristic of obedience, faith, a command, meaning following the command. It copies the fear of God, the reverence of God. Obedience, there's got to be a fear and reverence of God. If you don't fear God and there's no reverence, guess what? There's no obedience to what he's telling you. And that's not just God, that's anybody in our lives. If I don't respect my parents, if I don't reverence my parents, then I may have an issue being obedient. And some of us as teens, you know, we go through this stage where our parents don't know anything. Everybody else in the world knows something about, but our parents don't. We go through a little disrespectful stage, most of us as teenagers, because we're trying to find our way. We're in between that stage of being a child and being an adult. So we're trying to find our way in this world. We're trying to find our truth. So we get to a point where we do get a little bit disrespectful. You know, we stop fearing our parents because, oh, they know. They're old. They don't know nothing. This is a new day. They not here. You know, we all been through that. I don't care what generation you've been in, you've been through that. So we do get like that, trying to find our way. But obedience comes with a reverence. Obedience accompanies repentance. So the characteristic of obedience is a person that has a repentant heart. And I thought, wow, when we think, and I always bring David up. I bring David up a lot because I think about David, and David was like so many of us, just get ourselves in some stuff. We just be, you know, just doing some stuff. But he had a repentant heart. Obedience reflects love. We already said that. Obedience reflects love for Jesus. So we know to be obedient, the characteristics of obedience is love for Jesus. We know that obedience is hard, but we know that obedience is good. We know that it is. We may be saying, you know, I say, I want to be obedient again. We want to know, what does it look like? So tonight, I'm going to try to take you on a journey. Because when I say obedience and going forward, when somebody say obedience to you, you're going to get a picture. So I'm going to give you some pictures tonight. And it's not going to just be letters, but I'm going to give you pictures. So follow with me if you will. What does obedience truly look like? It looks like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you remember, that was the three Hebrew boys who refused to worship anybody but their God. And as a result of that, they ended up into the fiery furnace. And yet, it didn't consume them. Why? Because they were in the presence of God. Just like the burning bush, it wasn't consumed because it was in the very presence of God. When God is present, you cannot be consumed. So that's what obedience looked like. Obedience looked like Joseph. When Joseph ran from the spirit of seduction, you remember the queen was trying to seduce him. She wanted him, and he hightailed it out there so quick that he left his robe behind because he was not going to get caught up. That's obedience. Obedience looked like Daniel in the lion's den, who ended up in the lion's den because he continued to pray to his God despite the mandate not to do so. Glory. Obedience looked like Joseph, who the angel told to take Mary as his wife, even though she was pregnant. Now, can you imagine in any day and age, as a man, can you imagine your woman coming to you, somebody coming to you, an angel, or you get a dream that tells you your woman, your soon-to-be wife, is pregnant, and you ain't the dad? Do you think that you would, and they say, but yet still you're going to go get her, you're going to marry her anyway, and you're going to raise this child like it's yours because it's the Messiah. Come on. Let's just say none of us would have believed that. But yet and still, Joseph was obedient. And look what his obedience brought. His obedience to do what God told him to do produced our Savior. You know, and he, because he had to have a great influence because he was the father. He was the father. And no one else knew him to be anything else. Remember, this was between Joseph, Mary, and God. So everybody knew that was Joseph's son. Amen. And he didn't follow, you know, everything in the natural, customarily was against it. But yet still, he went outside of his comfort zone. Yes, do we see that obedience is not easy? Being obedient may go against tradition. It may go against customs. It may go against loved ones. what everybody else is doing or thinking. Sometimes everybody else gonna have a different matter of opinion, but you know what God told you to do. You know, one of the examples of that is that, you know, sometimes you could go around family or friends and everybody's doing something, but you know God told you not to, right? And everybody's trying to convince you why you should. Oh, come on, it's just gonna be a little bit, you know. Oh, you know what, you don't have to stay, you know, you don't have to go, you can stay more, but you already know what God told you to do. So obedience may not always be a crowd pleaser. Obedience may go against the grain. Obedience can cause you to end up in some uncomfortable places. Yet the reward of obedience is always, always exceed discomfort. Obedience is the first law of heaven, and it's said to be the cornerstone upon which all righteousness and progression rest. It consists in a compliance with divine law in conformity to the mind and will of the divinity, in complete subjection to God and his command. It's in complete subjection to God and his command. Now, what I'm going to do, generally I start off with the word of God and then I go into this, but I wanted to paint the scene. I wanted to paint the picture. I wanted us to understand what obedience is. I wanted us to understand what it looks like. So now when we think about obedience, you'll think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll think about Joseph. You'll think about Daniel. You'll think about, and we're talking about both Joseph, but you will think about these men, and when you think about them and you think about their situation, you're going to say, that's what obedience looks like. Obedience is to obey. And you'll begin to be able to obey God when God tells you something. You'll know. And sometimes we have to be disobedient in order to experience the consequences of disobedience in order to begin to obey. What do you mean, Coach D? When you think about a child and you constantly tell them, you know, you think about it, you tell them, don't touch it. No, baby, don't touch that. It's hot. It's hot. Don't touch it. And sometimes they have to experience touching it in order for them to have a memory, so the next time they're not going to touch it. And it's the same thing. Sometimes we have to have an experience so that we know the next time, I ain't going to do that again. Next time, if God tell me not to do it, I'm not going to do it. Because I remember what happened last time. And if what happened last time was not comfortable, or what happened last time caused you great pain and suffering, hopefully that experience was enough to make you not want to do it again. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, people still keep bumping their head against the same wall. And I don't care, they bumping it, it bleed, it healed up, they bump it, it bleed, they healed up, they bump it, it bleed, they healed up. And some people just don't learn. But we're going to pray to God that we will learn from those disobedient moments and the consequences of our disobedience so that we could start walking in obedience, so that we could start trusting God. When he says something, why is he saying it? He's not just saying it because he's just trying to dictate rules to us. He's not just saying it because he don't want you to have fun. He's not just saying it because he don't want you not to feel good. He's not just saying it because he's trying to tell you what to do. There's a reason why he said what he said. If we get away from the religious rituals and all the traditions and all the other stuff, and we just get down to the nitty-gritty heart of the Word of God, if we just get right into the Word of God, into the Spirit of the Word of God, then we'll start getting revelation of why he's telling us not to do stuff. Why? Why he don't want you to, you know, covenant your neighbor? Why he don't want you to lie? Why he don't want you to steal, cheat? I mean, we just think, oh, he don't want that, or he just don't want us to do it because it's not right. But it's not just that. There's reason. Why did he build family? He didn't have to give Adam Eve in the garden. He said it's not good for man to be alone. He could have came up with anything else. He could have gave him a few homeboys. Amen. He could have gave him a few homeboys. It would, you know, he would have been kept busy. He didn't even have to give him the desire for anything else. You know, he didn't, you know, God alone could have replenished the earth without intercourse. He could, you know, so, okay, Holy Spirit, I hear you. But I'm just saying he didn't have to, you know, do that, but he did. So what we're going to do right now, before I get way off track, because I could go there, what we're going to do is we're going to go over, and if you'll follow me, we're going to go over to Deuteronomy. You started, you know, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I love Deuteronomy. And we're going to go over there, and we're going to now tie this up to the Word of God, and we're going to see what God has to say and see why obedience is important. Amen. So go with me, and we're going to go over to Deuteronomy 28. And many of you guys are probably reading out the King James or the New International Version and all that, and I love King James. That would be what I would read out of. But I want this to be real tonight. I want it to be in layman terms. I want you to be able to hear it. I want you to be able to see it. I want you to be able to understand it. Because Deuteronomy 28 lays it down. And he lays it down for us to really be able to embrace it. And so we're going to get to Deuteronomy 28. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Message. And I'm reading out of the Message because the Message is just layman terms. It's just plain language. Just like the language you hear from me, whether I have my double negatives, improper grammar, it may not be grammatically correct, but I'm just saying it's just down to earth. You understand it, you get it, you got it, and then you can walk in it. Amen. So 28:1-14. If you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high, high above all nations of the world. All these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. God's blessings inside the city, God's blessings in the country, God's blessings on your children, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the cows of your herd, the lambs of your flock, God's blessings on your basket and bread bowl. God's blessings in your coming in and God's blessings in your going out. God will defeat your enemy who attacks you. They'll come at you one way and leave seven ways. God will order a blessing on your barns and workplaces. He'll bless you in the land that God, your God, is giving you. God will form you as a people holy to him, just as he promised you, if you keep the commandment of God, your God, and live the way he has shown you. All the people on earth will see you living under the name of God and hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish you with good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, and crops from your land, and the land that God promised your ancestors that he will give you. God will throw open the doors of his sky vault and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in your hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take a loan. God will make you the head and not the tail. You'll always be the top dog and never the underdog. As you obediently listen to the diligently keep the commands of God, your God, that I am commanding you today. Don't swerve an inch to the right or left from the words that I command you today by going off, following, and worshiping other gods. Other gods, what's the other gods? It's not just if you decide that you're not going to worship God, but some of us are saying we're worshiping God, but we're worshiping little g's. What are little G's, Coach D? Little G's is our money, our job, our children, our spouses, cars. We're home. We're worshiping little God. See, God will bless us with that stuff. But But the thing is about it is that when you start giving more focus to the creation versus the creator, then you're worshiping little God. And God is a jealous God. And he said, you know, you think about Solomon. Solomon was the richest, he was rich beyond imagination. He had favor with God. God was impressed with Solomon because when God told Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want, Solomon said, I want a wisdom. He didn't ask for things. He said he wanted wisdom, and his wisdom brought him the things. But the problem was is that Solomon began to worship other gods. Remember, Solomon had wives, and Solomon began to let his wives dictate what God was going to come into. You know, Solomon was supposed to be dedicated to God, you know, our Heavenly Father, but yet still he allowed outside interference to cause them to come in with their who they worshiping and what they doing. And so we same way, we might not be worshiping Baal, or we don't think we worshiping something else over here, but we worshiping some stuff. We are worshiping some stuff. Many, you know, we worshiping our homes, and we're worshiping people and things. And God said here, don't you know that as long as we are being diligent and diligently obeying his voice and his commands and what he's telling us to do, and I'm saying this, I need you to hear the Spirit of God, because I don't need you to not hear the Spirit and miss where God is taking us here. God is talking about obedience. God is not, I'm not going to say, well, you're going to be perfect and you're going to follow every command, because the law was not written. God didn't give the people the law because he was trying to dictate rules. He gave the people the law so that they'll understand that they were not capable of following the law, right? But obedience, if he tells you to do something, it's going to be to your best to do it. It's going to be to your best to do it. And on occasions when you miss the mark, because when you don't do it, guess what? It's that thing called sin. Disobedience is sin. Because if God is telling you to do something, you don't do it, then guess what? You're missing the mark. So when we hear that word S-I-N, we look at it like, whoo, this big monstrous thing. But it's simple. Let's keep it simple. It's simple. It's just not about. Is disobedient. Sin is disobedient. And when we disobedient from what he's telling us to do, then we're out of the will of God. And when we're out of the will of God, we're, you remember it says sin will separate us from God? Well, guess what? When we're out of the will of God, it's separating us from God. It's that simple. Sin is disobedient. In disobedience, you're out of the will of God. Just like your children, when they're disobedient to you and you tell them to do something and they disobedient, they're out of your will. They're out of your will. So Deuteronomy is telling us that. And I find it ironic that in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, tells you about all the blessings. Only verse 1 through 14. Verse 1 through 14. But then if you read the curses, way more verses. And then it begins to tell you, and I would recommend that you read Deuteronomy 28, because then it begins to tell you about all the curses for being disobedient. Many of us are walking in curses. We got generational curses, you know, because it's our parents. The things that we're disobedient with today, it affects our children and our children's children. Just like the blessings overtake us and it pours down into our children, so does the disobedience. We see that. We call it generational curses. You know, we see people that go through some stuff, and because of their disobedience, they're going through some stuff, and then we see their kids go through it. And then their kids' kids go through it. They say that, and this is scientific, they say that women who grew up where their father was abusive, they generally will get into abusive relationships. Or if their parents, you know, if their father, and I keep saying father, but mothers could be too, that if, you know, that if their parents were alcoholics, that they probably would be alcoholics. You know, unwed pregnancy, if that was the case, then that might be the case. And you see it. It's not like some, there's exceptions to the rule. It's not always the case, but we see enough of it. We see enough of mothers that had to use public assistance, and they had kids by one father and another father and another father. This is not condemnation, but we see that, and then you see their kids go through the same thing, because we do what we see. We do what we see. People run, have high blood pressure, diabetes, and they said, well, yeah, I got that because my daddy had that. I got that because my mama had that. No, you didn't get that because they had that. You got that because you eat in the same way your mama ate, the same way your mama's mama ate, your mama's mama ate, and that's why you got that. If you change your eating habits, you'll change that generational curse, because it has to stop somewhere. Whatever that bad behavior was from generations ago, we have the ability to stop that. Because when we know better, we'll do better. We can't blame our parents and grandparents. They did what they knew. But when we know better, we should be doing better. And we can't even hold them accountable for maybe things that they allowed to happen in our lives because they did what they knew. If they was eating salt pork, And I was just having a conversation with someone that, it seemed like our grandparents and great-grandparents ate all of that kind of food, and they still live long lives, right? And I was true. There's a lot of different things that change, the processes of food and just different things. But still, they might have had some high blood pressure and stuff, too, and just didn't know. Why? Because they didn't have the technology that we have today. They weren't going to doctors, a lot of them, when you think back that far, they didn't have doctors. They might have one town doctor that went around. I don't even remember as a kid having antibiotics, and I'm not that old. So we could imagine what they didn't have. So they could have been dealing with high blood pressure. They could have been dealing with sugar, but just didn't know it. Amen? So it's generational. It's generational. And we know it's that because let's just go back to the word of God, because it says the word, it says God is, that God is the truth and every man a liar. So if that's the case, and in the word of God, he's telling us how we would be blessed by being obedient. So we know that we'll be blessed by being obedient. We're going to be blessed. We're blessed. That's in our body. That's in, everything. So if we're going to be blessed in everything, that means we got to be obedient. And then some generational curses from our forefathers that follow, that follow under Deuteronomy 15 and on by not being obedient, we don't have to change that because now we're going to be obedient. Why? Because we want the favor of God. We want God's blessings and his favor to overtake us. And we know that obedience is tied to blessings. We know that obedience is tied to the promises of God. We want the promises of God to begin to manifest in our lives. We want to know that what we believe in God for is going to manifest. When God tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord and he will give us the desires of our heart, that comes with obedience. That comes with obedience. When God tells us to speak those things into existence, guess what? You could speak the scripture all day long, and not one mountain is going to move because it's tied to obedience. And you could speak the scripture and not be obedient and not see the manifestation of those scriptures come to life. So it's tied to obedience. It's tied to obedience. We got to be obedient in order to see the manifestation of the promises of God in our lives. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the revelation of your word. And Father God, giving us a new insight on disobedience or a new sight on obedience. Father God, we thank you that you tell us that if we hearken diligently and obey, Father God, if we're obedient, that promises, blessings will overtake us, Father God. And we thank you for that right now, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that we're covered. We're covered under you, Father God, when we're in obedience. Father God, I just pray that everyone that's listening in on tonight, Father, we just have a renewed sense of obedience, Father, that we will just hear you, that we will obey you, Father. Father God, that we will walk in your favor, Father. Lord, we just thank you because not only do we want to be a blessing that we want you to be a blessing to us, Father, but we want to be able to bless others. And Father God, we want to make sure that our children and our children's children are blessed. And Father, that they walk in the spirit of obedience. So Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that, you know, that it's not a condemnation, but that it will really be, you know, where you would just really be able to say, you know what, I want to make sure that I'm operating in obedience. I want to make sure that I'm in the will of God. I want to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in order to receive the manifestation of the promises of God in my life. So I just want to thank you for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And I will see you next week. Good night.